Soundstripe.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of That's Relatable. If you have followed within the last couple of episodes, you know right now I'm kind of on a streak of talking about characteristics of Jesus. My goal is that we would just love Jesus for who he is outside of just like what he does for us. So yes, he is the only way we have a chance at going to heaven. He is the author of our salvation. He is full of grace and mercy, and he does all of these wonderful things for us. But I want to really, outside of that, just help others fall in love with who he is, the characteristics of him. When we fall in love with him, everything else just kind of aligns, and following him is so much more than just a set of rules. So we're going to dig into another characteristic today. I will warn you, I am driving in my car right now, and if you know me, you know my car. Maybe you don't. But if you do know my car, you know she is just, she's Old Faithful. She gets me from point A to point B. But man, does she sound rough. And we're on the hunt for a new car. But nevertheless, she's my old girl here. So if you hear some metal clanking sounds in the background, just know it's totally fine. Everything's good. That's just my girl talking here. So I have to get that out of the way. No, I've got to be honest. The characteristic I want to focus on today is very intimidating, because I'm just going to tell you straightforward. It's the characteristic of love and how Jesus is incredibly loving. And I think it's intimidating because everything about him is love. He is love. Like he's not just loving, like he is love. And so to try and even talk about it just feels wildly like impossible, because I don't know if I can even scratch the surface of how loving he is. So I'll just start by saying, like, I think if you've grown up in a Christian community, or maybe you've just heard from other people, like, one of the most talked about things in terms of Jesus is how loving he is, and he loves you so much, and as kids we sing Jesus loves me, and you know, so it's something that we learn and that we hear very early on, but I don't think we ever just really sit and digest what that means. Like, oh, he's loving, okay, what's next? Like, I really want to sit in that for a second and discuss not just that he's loving, but like how he's loving, and hopefully open some people's eyes up to the fact that it's not just a cliche saying, but that it's true. And so I'll just start by my own little example that I personally felt when I've personally felt the love of Jesus. And that goes back to about a couple years ago. So in my head, I've always, like, ever since I was a little kid, I've always been like, I don't know, like, I thought the idea of a golden birthday was cool for whatever reason. So I don't know if everybody knows what a golden birthday is. I think it's pretty, I don't know, well known, but the golden birthday is like when you turn the age that your birthday is on. So for me, my birthday is March 29th. And so I remember being a little kid being like, oh, like, I'm not going to get my golden birthday for so long. Like, I got to be turning 29 to have my golden birthday. And it would just be something that I would, like, in my own head, I never really talked to anybody else about it, but I've always just kind of noticed, like, oh, that person's having their golden birthday this year. They're going to have their golden birthday next year or whatever. And so I've always kind of in my head been like, all right, you're 29. You're going to be a good one for me. And so as I was getting closer to my 29th birthday, which was almost a year and a half ago now, I just remember thinking, like, oh yeah, year 29, something good is going to happen. We're going to hit the lotto. We're going to find our dream home. Like, we're going to be billionaires. I don't know. Just in my head, I was cooking up all these awesome scenarios, where my golden birthday. It was going to be awesome. And so I get into my 29th year and nothing's outrageously spectacular happened on the day of my birthday. I didn't really expect it to, but I just thought sometime in this year, something really good is going to happen. And it did, but it happened in a very different aspect and a different very way than what I was expecting. And so looking back now, like the 29th year, my golden birthday, like the best thing that happened to me was coming to know Jesus. And it sounds cheesy and cliche. And, I just know like that was my thing. Looking back, especially now, like I've always carried the Christian title. Like, yeah, I'm a Christian. I was baptized in seventh grade. You know, I've checked a lot of boxes of what it means to be a Christian, but within the last 2 years is when I have fully became a Christian. I am now living out what it means to pursue God. Like, I genuinely feel like I have a heart for God now that I've never, ever had. And this brings me back to how I've experienced Jesus' love is in that 29th year, man, did he relentlessly pursue me. I mean, in every place of my life, I felt like that I was going through, like, I found him in every like crevice of every part of my life and every nook and cranny. It was signs from him. It was him showing up. It was little scripture pieces that were just coming and somehow popping in front of my face, whether it was something on Instagram that just happened to show up or on social media or random something that was brought up at church. And I actually think maybe that was the year that we started going back to church. Like, a lot of times people say, like, I found God. I'm telling you right now, I think God found me because I was going about my business for so long thinking I was a Christian until he made me very aware that actually there's a little more digging we got to do here to kind of get you aligned up with what it means to really follow me. And so I just think of that golden birthday year, and I felt his love in ways that I truly don't know that I've ever felt. And it was mind-boggling, and it was eye-opening, and it was life-changing. And that's why I think it's so intimidating to try and talk about how loving Jesus is, because there's just no way. There's just no way I can put it all into words, especially within one little episode of just basically, or like talking about it, I guess, and trying to break it down. And so, I guess I'm going to start with one of the most pivotal, just like aha, Jesus is loving moments that I've felt just reading the Gospels. And so if you go through the Gospels and look at Jesus's life, I mean, there are parables and examples and sermons and so many things that just like testify to his love. It's like, how do you paraphrase that? And how do you put such a heavy emphasis on it? Like I want to, and I don't, like I said, I don't have the answer to that. I'm just winging it, if I'm being totally honest, because I feel like this is something that's put on my heart, and I just feel like the world needs so much more of his love than what we are recognizing right now. Anxiety is at an all-time high. Depression's at an all-time high. Suicidal thoughts and things just like, especially within our youth, like there, it's just high, not even just in the youth. Let's be honest, adults too, struggle with really debilitating, just like heartbreaking self-esteem and self-worth and love struggles. And so, all this to say, I am just kind of winging it, and I'm just trusting the Spirit to lead. And so, I just pray that like, this is not about anything cool I can say. It's just, I just hope and pray that like the Holy Spirit speaks to whoever needs to hear this. And, it's not about me. It's what he says through me is the goal. So anyways, I want to focus on one aspect of love that I find in Jesus and in the Gospels that is so convicting to me. Like even now, again, claiming, and I'm following Christ. I love him with all my heart. But let me tell you something, your girl needs Jesus like everybody else and then some, because I fight my attitude and my pettiness and my flesh a lot. And it's just, again, another testament as to why I need him so much. But this boils down to the story that convicts me the most, not the most, but whatever, convicts me a lot, is the one of Jesus washing Judas's feet. And so if you are unfamiliar, don't really know what the heck that means, basically, I'm going to paraphrase. Bear with me if I butcher this. I'm horrible at memorizing scripture. Again, if anyone finds anything biblically inaccurate that I say, I want to know that. Please, please, please make me aware, because I promise you it's not intentional. I'm just kind of new to this too. Like I said, about not even quite 2 years into honestly walking with God, in my opinion. So anyways, so long story short, if you don't know who Judas is, he's essentially the guy who betrayed Jesus. He betrayed him and turned him in to be crucified. And so that is, you know, a person who, how do you not have hard feelings towards? And I say that, again, as me, not Jesus, who was crucified. And that just goes to show, like, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew it. He knew that he'd be the reason that he was turned in, and that he essentially goes to the cross and is crucified. He was expecting that. And again, he knew it was Judas who was going to be the one to do it. And even so, on the Last Supper, when Jesus goes around and washes all of his disciples' feet, one, what a loving act that is in and of itself. Here is God, Christ, in human form, just serving humans who are sinful by nature, harsh, stubborn people, imperfect people, and he goes and he washes his feet, or their feet, all of them. And that alone is enough to be like the love that he has to have for these people to be the ones serving them and doing something like washing their feet. Like, that alone speaks to itself. But he goes to Judas and he washes Judas's feet too, all while knowing that he's going to be betrayed within a matter of time. And so that's hard for me to digest if I think about it, because I will tell you right now, like, let's put it in perspective this way too. The disciples were Jesus's like go-to guys. Like, he was going all over the place, spreading the good news, doing sermons, preaching, loving on others, healing, showing different signs and miracles and wonders and all these things. Again, more evidence of his love. But like, the disciples were his go-to people, his friends. It was his circle of people that he trusted and that he spent days with. All his ministry, his time of ministry was like 3 years or something. He's spending time with the disciples day in and day out. Those were his people. And so think of some of your best friends, some of the group that you hang out with, and you find out, and you know, one of them is about to betray you to a degree that is immeasurable, and you're going to die because of it. You're not just going to die. You're going to be beaten. You're going to absolutely be beaten and hurt. I mean, I don't even have the words, because it's hard for me to even want to say, like, he's going to be absolutely, he's gonna carry the cross, and he's going to be ridiculed, and he's going to experience the most harsh penalty that he didn't deserve because of Judas. And again, it all goes to fill the prophecies and to give us salvation, and he died on that cross for us to have eternal life with him. And so, anyways, yes, so thankful for the cross and how it's given us salvation and the grace, and, you know, but I want to, again, focus on just, how do you think Jesus felt knowing ahead of time that one of his friends was going to betray him in the way that he gets betrayed? I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't be washing Judas's feet. I would hope to say I'm a good enough person. I'm big enough to do that, mature enough to do that. Something tells me I most definitely wouldn't have. Something tells me I would have done a little smackdown at that moment. And not to make light of the situation, but put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in that perspective. Can you imagine the feelings of just being distraught and heartbroken and sick to your stomach at the idea of someone you love hurting you to that extent? And it would have been so easy to turn and just let him have it. let him feel that wrath and that anger and that hurt. It would have been so easy. And a lot of us would justify it and say, yeah, he deserves that. Jesus should have yelled at him. He should have let him know that he is worthless. He is horrible. How could he? He should have let him know. And Jesus doesn't. And instead, what he does is he washes his feet. And it almost makes me emotional because who does that other than Jesus? I mean, seriously, it doesn't even scratch the surface. But what I hope you guys take away from this is it does not matter what you've done, where you've been, the things you've gone through, the choices you've made that maybe you've regretted. It does not matter. He loves you so much and is just begging, is just holding his breath, begging and waiting and hoping that you will come to him. And it's not a matter of just, he just wants to have people serve him because he's got an ego. No, it is literal life and death. He is begging you to find him because he is infatuated with you and loves you so much. And he does not want an eternity without you. Sit on that for a second. Sit on that instead of the religious rules and, oh, Jesus says I can't do this. Jesus doesn't want me to do this. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered why he doesn't want you to do some things? Do you think it could be because it leads you to a life that is unfulfilling and hurtful? Maybe he's not as conceited as people make him out to be. Maybe he is genuinely looking out for you like any good parent looks out for their kid. And so I just hope to put perspective into place for people who might need to be reminded that when Jesus asks us not to do things, or when Jesus, I don't know, when God instructs us to go one way rather than the other and puts in these boundaries and standards and expectations as a Christian, it is always out of love. It is always out of love. In the same way that I'm going to smack my kid's butt if they try to run across the road because I want them to be safe and not get hit by a car because they don't check both ways. That's what Jesus does. That's what God does to an extent. If we can wrap our minds around how much he loves us and why he acts the way he does, I think we could become really stinking in love with him. And I know we can because I'm experiencing it firsthand. And so I hope and pray that in this little short episode of just hopefully encouraging someone, I really hope and pray that this hits home for someone and that maybe your eyes are open to the fact that, oh wow, everything he does is out of love. You're telling me he's not just trying to be mean and bossy and tell me what to do just because? He only acts out of love, guys. That's the only thing he is and he knows. And so again, I'm going to leave it there. And I hope this is something that we can just kind of digest and sit in and think of for a second. And not get so, what's the word I want to say? I just don't want us to get numb to the fact that he is loving. And again, it's something that we've been told and we've been talked to about for so long. It's one of the first things as a kid that you learn about Jesus, that he's loving, because it's so big that I think we try to enforce it so early on so people know. But again, I think it can sometimes make us like not actually sit and think and realize just how loving he is. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. And again, hopefully someone feels some sort of comfort and love and peace. I'm just praying that God is speaking to someone and just holding them right now. Just bringing that love and, that peace and comfort to them, whoever may need it. So hopefully this is something you guys enjoyed and something that can resonate with you. I know, it's something that I'm still learning about every day. but it's also something that I have now experienced as well. And, I'm just telling you, it's something you don't want to miss out on. So I'm going to leave it there. thank you guys for hanging out and listening. And again, hopefully this was encouraging to you. So we will do this again another time. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks, bye.